This is the Quality News Network. The FBI is now involved in the investigation into a Russian's death in London. Authorities have found at least 12 sites tainted with radioactive materials. Just before he died of radioactive poisoning, Alexander Litvinenko blamed Russia's chief, Vladimir Putin. Four British airline jets have now been found to contain radioactive traces, airplanes in which Litvinenko's alleged murderers traveled. Two Russian jets are also contaminated. Tens of thousands of passengers on those jets have been asked to call authorities. Litvinenko, who was investigating the recent death of another Putin critic, blamed Moscow for his poisoning shortly before he died. In Ireland, doctors say former Russian Prime Minister Igor Gaidar appears to have been poisoned. He was presenting a book reading when he fell ill the day before Alexander Litvinenko died in London. The Iraq Study Group has reached a consensus that the U.S. should gradually pull back its troops. When the group officially releases its recommendations Wednesday, it is expected to support direct diplomacy with Iraq's neighbors, Iran and Syria. The Bush administration is now downplaying the group's findings. In Baghdad, Iraq's prime minister is embroiled in an increasingly difficult revolt in parliament. His vice president said today he wants Maliki's government gone. Senior Sunni politicians have joined their Shia brethren in criticism of the ongoing Iraqi government. Former President Bill Clinton has joined former Secretary of State Colin Powell and other prominent Americans in calling Iraq's situation a civil war. The White House continues to deny that characterization. As many as 100 civilians are killed in Iraq daily in sectarian violence. In Washington, the government says it's warned financial services Al-Qaeda may direct a cyber attack on online financial services. Homeland Security says it has no confirming evidence. The southern plains in the Midwest have been hit by storms today that brought snow, sleet, and freezing rain from Texas to Illinois. Parts of eastern Kansas may experience up to 12 inches of snow. According to the Justice Department, there are 12 million American adults in jail on probation or parole. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Angola, the second largest oil producer in Africa and the largest supplier of crude oil to China, applies next month to become the newest member of OPEC. Sudan and Ecuador also have expressed interest in joining the oil cartel. The Commerce Department says October consumer spending picked up by 0.2%. Also, personal incomes rose 0.4%. Walmart predicts its December sales will rise only by 1%. The world's largest retailer announced its November sales fell for the first time in a decade. An analyst said more than half of retailers fell short of their forecasts for the second month in a row. Microsoft Windows Vista is now available to businesses. Home users will be able to purchase the updated operating system on January 30th. The Labor Department reported an unexpectedly large increase in the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits. Last week, the amount was up 34,000. Light sweet crude is still trading at $62.89 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 5 points at 12,221. NASDAQ was flat at 2431. The S&P 500 up 1 at 1,400. Gold ended trading today at $653.90 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Voodoo child, Lord, I'm a voodoo child.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning. That's right. It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and who expect working Americans to pay for their billionaires' games. And now, brought to you by the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, it's the Bruce Birch Radio Program with your host, Bruce Birch.
Well, the night I was born, Lord, I swear the moon turned a fire red.
Right. Good evening and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 5 minutes past the hour here on the East Coast of the United States. That would be past the hour of 10 p.m. Glad to be back with you again this evening. Stuff going on out there, but the first thing I wanted to get off my chest this evening was to just to say, you know, the right is just imploding. These people are just, they're falling apart like a cheap suit. And there, I said it. Big revelation, eh? If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number. It's 1-877-443-2366. You have dialed into the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Yesterday we had to bail out a little early because the internets were getting kerfluffled. And today, apparently the internets are not as kerfluffled. So we're gonna try to give it a whole 2 hour show this evening. You know, I just wanted to say though, I really appreciate those of you who listen each and every day. You guys are really making a huge contribution to media reform. You're making a huge contribution to freedom in the media, because after all, we're not controlled by a corporate interest, and we're not controlled by any other interest for that matter. The editorial content that you hear on this network, ladies and gentlemen, strictly comes from each one of the hosts. And there is no control, there is no management saying we can talk about this or we can talk about that or we can't talk about this or we can't talk about that. We pretty much, everything's fair game here. This is free speech radio. So if you, you know, there's a bunch of other shows during the day here on the Head On Radio Network starting at 12 noon. I believe tomorrow at 12 noon, Cup of Joe radio show is on with Joe Vecchio, who hails from Chicago, formerly of Atlanta, and he's a hard-hitting, labor-oriented guy, so you got to check him out. And then after him, there's Mark Levine, who is a former congressional lawyer in Washington, D.C. He hails from D.C. We got Guy James after that, who hails from Florida. Old style FDR liberal, you got to check him out. He's fantastic. And then following him is my good friend John Fox, and I have an announcement about him later on in the show. We're going to be doing an interesting thing here very very shortly. And then following John Fox, my mate from down under after John is a flagship program of this station, Head On with Bob Kincaid. And of course, after he is me. So a bunch of really great programs here. I do encourage you, if you listen to this show, to check out some of the other ones during the day. They're pretty amazing. And, of course, all the shows are archived at the White Rose Society. Ben Birch, no relation, over there. He does that archiving for us, and he also manages the streams here. So, you know, this is truly people's radio, folks. This is where folks who wanted to make a difference in the world got together and made a difference, and we're making a difference every day. We're not so concerned about whether or not, you know, what kind of profit margins there are there. We're not so concerned about whether or not what kind of market share we've got. What we care about is that we give you an outlet for you to share, talk about what it is that's going on that you want to comment on. I mean, that's important stuff. You're not going to get that on the Jones Radio Network. I'll say it. You're not going to get that on some other networks that are out there, but you will get it here. If you want to get in on the show and you have some stuff you want to talk about, I'll give you plenty of time to talk about it. Love to hear from you. Now, moving away from that, I wanted to get that out because there are times that we, you know, here on the network that we get caught up in all the politics of the day and we forget how important and how amazing it is that this whole radio network has come together. You know, we recently celebrated a year, I believe, in existence here on the network, and in February, I think my involvement in February or March, maybe it's January, I don't know. I'll have to ask El Jefe. But my involvement got started here, and I've been here for a while. And these folks, I'll tell you, are just amazing people, all of them. Every one of you folks that is involved in helping to make this a success, you guys rock, every one of you. Now, having said all that, you know, I want to get into some of the stories of the day, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about tonight about some of some social issues, and I'll get into that a little bit later, and some labor issues, because it appears that the union movement is experiencing, the labor movement is experiencing a resurgence across the South. There are plants, you know, across the South that are voting to go union. There are strikes that are going on. It's really kind of interesting to watch it happen because this is an area that has resoundingly rejected the employees' rights for many, many years because they believed the lies that the companies have told them. Well, if you go union, we're going to have to move. We're going to have to pull up stakes. We're going to have to go away, and you know you can't make as much money here, and blah 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 blah. But the employees now for a lot of these companies are saying, you know what, that's bull, and they're doing what they need to do to protect their rights, because the reality is, folks, that you, with your $17 an hour job by yourself, are no match for the guy who makes $438 million a year. Right, more than $1 million a day. You make, $16, $17 an hour. He's making $400-some dollars an hour. And you're no match for him, but you know what? If you get all of your $16 an hour workers together and you start matching up the money, guess what happens? You start getting power in those numbers. And when you get power in those numbers and you're able to negotiate fair, legitimate concerns, safety concerns, overtime concerns, etc., interesting things happen. Like you get to have a life again outside of the plant. So we're going to talk about some of that a little bit later on in the show. I do want to cover one story right off the top that is an interesting story as is published today. Senator Hillary Clinton is calling on the U.S. Army to investigate an alleged case of mishandling a soldier's casket. Several witnesses at a Rochester, New York airport last month apparently saw what appeared to be the American flag-draped casket of a dead soldier transported down an airline conveyor belt and onto a baggage toting vehicle. Was I not just talking about this yesterday? According to a report by a TV station, a local TV news station there, the remains are believed to be that of Army Sergeant First Class Tony Nyer, who was killed in Iraq on October the 21st. The casket was apparently escorted by a lone soldier standing at attention. Well, goodness gracious, they've changed their policy. They're actually sending some of these live soldiers home with the dead ones. In a statement released today by Clinton's office, the junior senator from New York urged an immediate investigation into the alleged mishandling and also requested a clarification from the Department of Defense and the Army of their policy and procedures regarding the transport home of service members who have died while serving our country. He says that the reported incident is deeply offensive. Those who have sacrificed their lives in the service of our country deserve nothing less than our utmost respect. So she's calling for a complete, she's calling for an investigation into this, and that she's demanding that the Pentagon and the Army must take all appropriate measures to ensure that the returning remains of soldiers are treated with the respect they deserve. Damn shame that she's not asking for them to be treated with the respect they deserve while they're alive, isn't it? Because if they were to be treated with the respect they deserve while they are alive, they wouldn't be in that country being killed. Several witnesses saw what appeared to be an American flag-draped casket of a dead soldier transported down an airline conveyor belt and onto a baggage-toting vehicle. Well, that's an upgrade from what it used to be. They used to send them back in a cardboard box, if I remember correctly. There was a certain parent out west, I think it was in California, who received the body of her son, or a father received the body of his son that was in a cardboard container, and it came in on a commercial flight, much like this one was. And my understanding is that it wasn't flag-draped, and there was no one accompanying this soldier who had died. This is probably a couple of years ago. So they've actually upgraded the treatment. They're actually sending one lone soldier, and they're flag-draping the casket. You know, I just got to say, and you know, I started off the show yesterday a little bit with this Iraq track. And it really bothers me that they're missing the entire point here. They're missing the entire point. Absolutely, these soldiers who are coming home, who have given their lives in the service of their country, believing that they were doing the right thing, following the orders of their commander in chief. You know, Yes, they need to be treated with every bit of dignity afforded any serviceman who passes away, especially who gets killed in the line of duty. But on the same token, you know what? We need to work harder to keep them from going there in the first damn place, don't we? So Hillary Clinton, if you get this message, perhaps you can talk about a little bit more about the idea of let's not send them there to begin with, right? Just a small, small suggestion for you. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 17 minutes past the hour. If you want to get in on the show today, we'll talk about whatever you've got on your mind. The telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. We're going to take our middle of the half-hour break, and then we'll be back and get into some more stuff. This is the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government, and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
All right. Welcome back to the radio program. It's 21 minutes past the hour. Just wanted to let you know, I was running through the this day in history thing, and some of the stuff that's in here is quite amazing. Quite amazing. In 1972, with the Vietnam War, the White House today announced there would be no full withdrawal until final truce agreement is signed. That was in 1972. Tell me something. Has anything changed? I mean, does anything sound any different to you? Also today, Mark Twain was born in 1835. Just letting you know, a little bit of history stuff here, tossing it your way. On this day in 1996, Tiny Tim passed away. I'm sure that you were lighting a candle as I spoke that. Also today, the Brady Bill was signed into law. Winston Churchill celebrated his birthday today. He was born today in 1874. And let's see, one last little Civil War fact. The Battle of Franklin, Tennessee was actually on this. Now, you know, I was talking about the whole Iraq thing earlier, and I'm going to get away from that a little bit because, you know, I can get caught up in a lot of that stuff. But there is one more story that I wanted to bring to your attention. Apparently, the U.S. military and Iraqi officials have they've continued to question a source for a widely publicized Associated Press story about six Iraqis being set on fire last Friday, and the AP continues to stand by it with new developments today. The latest in this story, okay, let me just give you the whole rundown of this. The AP had reported last Saturday that a police captain named Jamil Hussein was one of two sources for its original story. The U.S. military, apparently, in a letter to the AP, along with conservative bloggers such as Michelle the hate monger Malkin, repeatedly charged that Hussein was fictional, or in any case was not a police officer, throwing the AP story into doubt. But the AP has denied this, and in any case went back and found several more witnesses to the immolations, and issued a new report on the six deaths on Tuesday, while labeling the charges against it by the U.S. military as ludicrous. Okay. A spokesman today for the Iraqi Ministry of Interior at a press conference claimed that a key source in the original AP report was not a Baghdad police officer. He also denounced press accounts based on alleged rumors. few hours later, Kathleen Carroll, the executive editor of the Associated Press, responded in a statement stating, "We are satisfied with our reporting on this incident. If Iraqi and U.S. military spokesmen choose to regard AP's on-the-ground reporting, that is certainly their choice to make, but it is a puzzling one given the facts." So what's up with the cover-up? You know, of the hundreds of thousands of people killed and maimed and blown to bits in the civil war that is ongoing, that kills about, I don't know, 70 people a day, 70 to 100, sometimes it's more than that, 70 to 100 people a day in Iraq. Why is it that these six deaths of people who were burned alive, why is it that this has taken on particular scrutiny? There have been death squads that have been running around Iraq killing people. There have been squads that, I'm looking for the right word here, kidnapping squads. People who are in Iraq who live there now are, you know, they don't, you know, here, okay, let's just use some contrast. Compare and contrast, as my college English teacher used to say. Here in the United States, if you have a team of police officers show up at your door and they're all wearing badges and they have on uniforms and you see cop cars in the yard, chances are they might be policemen. And when they knock on the door and say, "Open up," well, you do, right? Because if you've done nothing wrong, if you have nothing to fear, then you figure, well, there's something going on here and I need to figure out what's happening, right? So you open the door and you figure out what's going on. Well, in Iraq, if you do that, you may be spirited away and never to be seen again. And this is happening to many, 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 many families there. There is a correspondent who has done a number of interviews with a gentleman by the name of Dick Gordon, who used to do a show called The Connection. He does a different show now, based here in North Carolina. And I was listening to an interview with this gentleman the other day, and he said, you know, the question was asked of him, well, what do you do if the police come to your door? What do you do? He says, "I bar the door. And then I go up on the roof with my gun. And I take my family up on the roof with my gun and I tell them to get the hell away from my house or I will shoot them." Any contrast? Any difference there? And when asked why he would do that, he said, "Because too many of my neighbors have been taken away in the middle of the night by policemen. By those who show up wearing uniforms and badges and driving Iraqi police cars. Never to be seen again." Interestingly enough, that was one of the complaints that was uttered about Saddam Hussein, was that if you were captured, if you were taken into custody by Saddam's henchmen, chances are you would go to Abu Ghraib prison and you would be tortured and never seen again, right? What's changed? Is there something that's different here? Is freedom on the march now, and that's why now instead of being Ba'athist henchmen, it's actually official police officers doing it? Is that the difference now? Because I'm not seeing much of a difference. Matter of fact, I'm not seeing any difference at all. But you know, so here we go. Further, the Iraqi spokesman said today that reporting on such atrocities shows that the security situation is worse than it really is. This is ludicrous. This guy is speaking from Baghdad, right? The capital city, where dozens of bodies are discovered every day showing signs of terrible torture, where people are gunned down in their cars, dragged from their homes, or blown apart in public places every single day. And we're not talking about once a week. We're not talking about Saturday. It's the day for bombing. Everybody stay home. We're talking about every day. You might be walking down the street there on your way to work, and all of a sudden a car explodes right next to you and blows you into smithereens. This is what happens. This is what these people are living with on a daily basis. You know, I'm sighing because we were supposed to have created freedom there and liberty and This was supposed to be, we were supposed to be greeted like liberal, like when we took France back over from the Nazis. I mean, this was, you know, the spokesman is quoted as saying, at the end of the day, we have AP journalists with reporting and images from the actual neighborhood versus official spokesman saying the story cannot be true because it is damaging and because one of the sources is not on a list of people approved to talk to the press. Kathleen, executive editor. I'm sighing again. You know, it's kind of depressing, isn't it? Well, you know, it is what it is. There is a war going on, continuing to go on, and the war is different now. The illegal invasion of that country turned into an illegal occupation, which has since turned into a civil war with factions fighting each other, and we can't do anything about it. Why? Because we never should have been there to begin with. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. It's 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back. Glad to be back with you this evening. If you want to get in on the show, it's 1-877-443-2366. 1-877, the number 4, Head On. I'll be right back.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. A peace sign has turned into a victory sign for free speech. That's the moral of the story about Lisa Jensen and Bill Tramarco, the couple out in Loma Linda, Colorado, who put up a Christmas wreath in the shape of a peace sign and then were ordered by their homeowners association to take it down or face a $25 a day fine. Now, had this happened a year or two after 9/11, when the climate in this country was chillier and Bush was riding high, then none of us might have ever heard about Lisa Jensen or Bill Tramarco. They themselves might not have had the courage even to put up the sign, much less to fight the fine. And their little stand for peace may never have reverberated beyond the subdivision of Loma Linda or the nearby town of Pagosa Springs. But a funny thing happened on the way to repressiveness. Citizens have started to rebel. Citizens have started to reassert our fundamental rights. The outcry in favor of Lisa Jensen and Bill Tramarco was so sudden and so vociferous that the Homeowners Association was forced to back down and apologize to them. And the members of the board of the association summarily resigned. Now these wreaths of peace are popping up all over Loma Linda in Pagosa Springs, and people in other states who've heard about this have started to put up their own. The message of peace is proliferating, and the censor's grip loosening. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Well, I just came back today. I just came back.
Bruce Burt's radio program, 35 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. The Horn. Get on the horn if you want to. 1-877-443-2366. I was looking at a story here, a very interesting story. Why? Well, because we're ruining the planet, and the planet is going to reject us very soon, just like every living organism rejects poison. Stephen Hawking, who is the world-renowned scientist, has come out and said today that the only way that man will survive is to leave this planet. Cambridge University cosmologist said today that space rockets propelled by the kind of matter-antimatter annihilation technology popularized in Star Trek would be needed to help Homo sapiens colonize hospitable planets orbiting alien stars. Dig that. Hawking, who is confined to a wheelchair by motor neuron disease, was commenting using a muscle below his right eye to operate via a switch on his glasses, his voice synthesizer. Bet that took some learning. He told BBC Radio 4's Today program that scientists still have some way to go to reach his prediction in his best-selling A Brief History of Time, that mankind would one day know the mind of God by understanding the complete set of laws which govern the universe. This set of laws, which will probably rely on theory that requires more than three dimensions of space and one of time, could be uncovered within 20 years, he said. He believes that next year, when the giant LHC Atom Smasher goes into operation in the nuclear physics laboratory in Geneva, that will provide new information for that quest by simulating conditions not seen since the birth of the universe, as well as making antimatter in a special factory, an antimatter factory. Dig that. So we're going to see, you know, we may very well see before our lifetime is out, folks, if you're around my age or so. Who knows, I might get hit, smashed by a piano falling out of the sky tomorrow. But we may see in our lifetime human beings leave this planet and go colonize another planet and spoil that one too. But, you know, Stephen Hawking is one of those scientists that has not, he's always basically said what's on his mind, and, you know, we got to honor him for that. Because now another, and we're going to go over into, we're going to get away from that and go into a couple of addiction stories. And I wanted to cover these because it blew my mind. The first one is out of Michigan. And I wanted to, this is just so sick, you know, and I understand addiction very well, as you well know. But doing this, I mean, you know, this is just sick. A suburban Detroit woman who admitted injecting heroin into her 12-year-old nephew and giving him and her niece, her 15-year-old niece, heroin and cocaine today was sentenced to 8 years in prison. That's all. Dacqueline Ellen Vuich, 26, pleaded guilty to delivery of narcotics to a minor, first and second degree child abuse, maintaining a drug house, and keeping a person younger than 16 in a home where prostitution occurred. She was sentenced by a judge yesterday. Vuich's daughter lived at a home rented by Vuich's mother. Vuich was visiting January 24th when she injected her nephew with heroin as he ate dinner. He was treated for a heroin overdose at a nearby hospital. This woman is crazy as hell. The mother, Jan Ruby Catton, was charged with maintaining a drug house and a house of prostitution and with second-degree child abuse. She pleaded no contest, and was sentenced, dig this, to 2 years probation. The judge, Matt Switalski, said of Catton, "He's probably not a good caregiver." Have it to do something with the fact that she was running a whorehouse and a crack house? Addiction. insanity, complete insanity, the things that some people will do. Another one, another story coming out of New York tonight. Authorities say a posh penthouse apartment overlooking the United Nations in Midtown Manhattan was the site of an illegal lab producing methamphetamine for a drug ring involving a bank executive and a university grad student. The Citibank executive and Columbia University teaching assistant, along with auto mechanics, because everyone knows that auto mechanics know how to make meth, right? Along with auto mechanics employed by one of the city's largest car dealerships, were among those arrested yesterday after being charged with producing methamphetamine in 9 laboratories scattered throughout New York City and Long Island. Manufactured in style at a penthouse apartment overlooking the United Nations, in work bays at the Potemkin Mitsubishi car dealership, and in bedrooms on Long Island, federal agents seized manufactured amphetamine along with hundreds of grams of restricted chemicals, including red phosphorus and iodine, that are key ingredients in the manufacture of methamphetamine. They called it Operation Red Fusion. After the 9 labs were raided, agents assigned to the DEA's clandestine laboratories team oversaw the cleanup. And another related story, is that apparently on the East Coast, methamphetamine use is up, way, way up. So, you're going to see this. It's cheaper than crack, lasts a lot longer, and makes people crazier than George Bush. So, there's the addiction news for the day. It amazes me what people will go through in order to get loaded. Speaking of poison, oh my goodness! Speaking of poison, again, we were talking earlier I heard on the network earlier, Bob Kincaid, I believe, was talking about the whole Russian guy that was poisoned, and probably another person is believed to have been poisoned. Former Russian Prime Minister Yegor Gaidar is said to be stable in a Moscow hospital after becoming unwell on a trip to Ireland. And it was, guess what? It was poisoning. That news followed the death in London of former Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko. Of radiation poisoning. So apparently someone is exacting their comeuppance, and as our friend James Bond would say, it's best served cold. And we're going to get away from that too, because you know what, maybe we should talk about some other things. I've got some other stuff on my mind. Maybe this is a good time to we've seen in this country, we talked about it last week a little bit, the USDA is no longer going to talk about hunger. It's going to talk about food insecurity. The folks who are in charge of the executive branch of government have put bureaucrats in charge of any number of the various houses, HUD, the Department of VA, with Jim Nichols at the helm. HUD, of course, Alfonso Jackson, who was awarding contracts based on political preference. Jim Nicholson, who is doing his best to undo the VA. Any number of these folks, and now at the USDA, they're trying to undo the very basic stuff that applies to those who are needy in this country. They're trying to undo the idea that people are actually hungry. We don't want to call them hungry. We want to call them food insecure. Why? Because hungry can't be measured. Hunger can't be measured. However, we can measure the degree to which someone is food insecure. much more clinical term, takes the emotion out of the situation, which is what we want, because we want to starve the people to death, right? Make sure that we don't give them any food. Take away their food stamps. Let's see how insecure they actually get. Thank God we have a Democratic Congress coming into power in January to undo some of the insanity that these people have created. The interesting thing is that, you know, there hasn't been a plethora of stories out recently about some of the missteps in the various agencies of the government. There's been a couple covered one last night. But the majority of those stories have sort of gone under the wire. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the majority of those cabinet-level posts are they're scared they're going to get indicted, probably. They're scared that they're going to go on trial for damaging the country. And, well, they should. There has been, though, getting into the Congress a little bit, there has been a bit of an outcry over congressional pensions. And, some of these convicted members of Congress are still going to receive pensions. Folks like Duke Cunningham, Bob Ney, Mark Foley, who all left Congress in disgrace, will still get generous congressional pensions no matter what happens. And that is a travesty. In my, you know, if I were to get fired from a job, I think I would pretty much give up my pension there, wouldn't I? Now, if I were paying into a 403B or a 401K, I would, of course, get that because that's my money. If these are the folks that we have as our elected officials, and this is the standard that we're setting, what does that say to the rest of the world? What does that say not only to the rest of the world? What does that say to the working people of this country? You can get fired from your job, and you know what? When you get fired, you're out of there. You lose your pension. You're not vested. However, if you get elected to Congress, you'll get a generous pension 2 to 3 times more generous than what a similarly paid executive would get in the private sector, even if you get convicted and sent to jail. So a lot of the taxpayers, civic groups out there are a little bit upset. They're going to push for change, which they will. For instance, Bob Ney, convicted in Ohio, pled guilty, bribery, corruption, etc. He will get $29,000 a year after age 60. Duke Cunningham, convicted, bribery, corruption. He is already collecting $64,000 a year while he is in prison. That's plenty of money for the commissary, isn't it? Even if Mark Foley, the pedophile guy, ends up being charged and convicted, he will still get his $32,000 a year pension. So he won't have to worry about getting a job, will he? I mean, really, he could just live in a little small house somewhere and for the rest of his life and collect $32,000 a year. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not go to jail. Fifteen other disgraced former members of Congress are also still collecting their pensions. Convicted Illinois Representative Dan Rostenkowski draws, dig this, this is going to blow your mind, over $100,000 a year. Over $100,000. You know, so when they start talking to you about the corporations start talking about, well, we can't afford to pay you any kind of retirement because that would cut into our bottom line, remind them that the people that they gave money to in the campaigns, they collect their pension while they're sitting in jail for collecting the money. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Gonna be back in just a second. Gonna take a quick break, and then we'll come back and cover a couple of other things. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You may find yourself listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. 10:53 here on the East Coast, 7:53 on the West Coast. And you can figure it out all in between. You know, in the chat room here at the Head On Radio Network, you got to go in there and check this out. They're having a little bit of a discussion about who gives more to charity, whether it's liberals or conservatives. And it's an interesting topic, mainly because one of the folks who's in the chat room came in and said, you know, it's kind of embarrassing, but in fact, conservatives give more of their discretionary income to the poor than do liberals, and most of those conservatives have smaller incomes. Very, very interesting statistic. Well, I couldn't let it go by, so I had to do a little bit of, research. Okay? I found a post on a site called America's Debate, and in this post, it's based on a book by a gentleman named Arthur Brooks. He's written a new book entitled Who Really Cares? America's Charity Divide, Who Gives, Who Doesn't, and Why It Matters. And these are some of the things that he quotes. Number one, conservative households in America donate 30% more money to charity each year than do liberal households, in spite of lower average incomes. Two, conservatives are also more generous in other ways, such as blood donations and volunteer work. In fact, if liberals gave blood like conservatives do, the blood supply in the U.S. would jump by about 45%, says he asserts. People who mistrust big government give more than those who rely on the government to take care of the poor. This includes giving and volunteering even to traditionally progressive causes such as the arts and the environment. Four conservative red states give away far more of their incomes than liberal blue states do. Five, religious people give away four times more money each year than secularists. This is not just because of giving to churches. Religious people are 10% more likely than secularists, to give money to explicitly non-religious charities. Number six, religious people are far more generous than secularists with their time. For instance, a religious person is 57% more likely than a secularist to help a homeless person. Seven, religious people are also more generous in informal ways, such as giving money to family members and behaving honestly. Oh my God, you didn't just say that. Number eight, a working poor family without welfare support gives on average more than three times as much money to charity each year as a family with the same total income that receives welfare support. In other words, poverty does not discourage charity in America, but welfare does. Is anybody detecting a pattern here? I'm detecting a pattern. Number nine, people raised in intact and religious families are more charitable than those who are not. For instance, married parents are 9 percentage points more likely to give money than divorced parents and 29 points more likely than never married parents. Living in sin. 10, charitable giving spurs the economy. At the national level, a 1% increase in giving per person stimulates a $19 increase in GDP per capita. And 11, the final one, 11, Americans give far more money and are far more likely to volunteer their time than citizens of any European country. For example, the average American family gives 3.5 times as much as a French family, those damn French, 7 times as much as a German family, those damn Germans, and 14 times as much as an Italian family. All right, I've spewed enough of the stuff. Now, who is Arthur Brooks? Take a look at who Arthur Brooks is. Arthur Brooks is the professor of public administration and director of the nonprofit studies program at Syracuse University's Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs. In 2007, wait for it, he will be a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Well, one would ask, what is the American Enterprise Institute? Well, the American Enterprise Institute, just take a very quick look, and let me read you a little bit of something. Here we go. The American Enterprise Institute has several purposes, but they are to defend the principles and improve the institutions of American freedom and democratic capitalism, limited government, private enterprise, individual liberty and responsibility, vigilant and effective defense and foreign policies, political accountability, and open debate. Yeah, the American Enterprise Institute is a conservative think tank. We traced that one back to the roots, didn't we? This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We're going into our top of the hour and the news with Annabelle Lund, Quality News Network. I'll be right back after the news.
The
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The FBI is now involved in the investigation into a Russian's death in London. Authorities have found at least 12 sites tainted with radioactive materials. Just before he died of radioactive poisoning, Alexander Litvinenko blamed Russia's chief, Vladimir Putin. Four British airline jets have now been found to contain radioactive traces, airplanes in which Litvinenko's alleged murderers traveled. Two Russian jets are also contaminated. Tens of thousands of passengers on those jets have been asked to call authorities. Litvinenko, who was investigating the recent death of another Putin critic, blamed Moscow for his poisoning shortly before he died. In Ireland, doctors say former Russian Prime Minister Igor Gaidar appears to have been poisoned. He was presenting a book reading when he fell ill the day before Alexander Litvinenko died in London. The Iraq Study Group has reached a consensus that the U.S. should gradually pull back its troops. When the group officially releases its recommendations Wednesday, it is expected to support direct diplomacy with Iraq's neighbors, Iran and Syria. The Bush administration is now downplaying the group's findings. In Baghdad, Iraq's prime minister is embroiled in an increasingly difficult revolt in parliament. His vice president said today he wants Maliki's government gone. Senior Sunni politicians have joined their Shia brethren in criticism of the ongoing Iraqi government. Former President Bill Clinton has joined former Secretary of State Colin Powell and other prominent Americans in calling Iraq's situation a civil war. The White House continues to deny that characterization. As many as 100 civilians are killed in Iraq daily in sectarian violence. In Washington, the government says it's warned financial services Al-Qaeda may direct a cyber attack on online financial services. Homeland Security says it has no confirming evidence. The southern plains in the Midwest have been hit by storms today that brought snow, sleet, and freezing rain from Texas to Illinois. Parts of eastern Kansas may experience up to 12 inches of snow. According to the Justice Department, there are 12 million American adults in jail on probation or parole. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Angola, the second largest oil producer in Africa and the largest supplier of crude oil to China, applies next month to become the newest member of OPEC. Sudan and Ecuador also have expressed interest in joining the oil cartel. The Commerce Department says October consumer spending picked up by 0.2%. Also, personal incomes rose 0.4%. Walmart predicts its December sales will rise only by 1%. The world's largest retailer announced its November sales fell for the first time in a decade. An analyst said more than half of retailers fell short of their forecasts for the second month in a row. Microsoft Windows Vista is now available to businesses. Home users will be able to purchase the updated operating system on January 30th. The Labor Department reported an unexpectedly large increase in the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits. Last week, the amount was up 34,000. Light sweet crude is still trading at $62.89 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 5 points at 12,221. NASDAQ was flat at 2431. The S&P 500 up 1 at 1400. Gold ended trading today at $653.90 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
That's right. You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, hour number two. And, we're here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, you can avail yourself of that opportunity. That's right. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. 1-877-443-2366. That's the number. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network there in wild, wonderful West Virginia. Got a clip I wanted to run by you. This is Keith Olbermann. Now, Keith is talking about the situation that Newt Gingrich came out the other day and said, well, you know, maybe we need to rethink this whole freedom of speech thing. Maybe we need to rethink this whole Bill of Rights thing. Maybe we need to rethink this whole thing about liberty, because, you know, we live in a very dangerous world now. And it's a world where we must be scared. We must be scared all of the time. And if we're scared enough, like we should be, we don't need freedom. We need security. We need to feel safe. Keith Olbermann, of course, is the host of Countdown on MSNBC. And this was his little response to our good friend and most able adversary, Newt, the guy Gingrich. You know, the guy who divorced his wife when she was dying of cancer. That guy. That's the same one. All right.
Comment about free speech, failed speakers, and the delusions of grandeur. This is a serious long-term war, the man at the podium cried, and it will inevitably lead us to want to know what is said in every suspect place in the country. Some in the audience must have thought they were hearing an arsonist give the keynote address at a convention of firefighters. The annual Loeb First Amendment dinner in Manchester, New Hampshire, a public cherishing of freedom of speech in the state with the twisted motto, live free or die. And the arsonist at the microphone, the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, was insisting that we must attach an on-off button to free speech. He offered the time-tested excuse, trotted out by our demagogues since even before the Republic was founded. Widespread death of Americans in America, possibly at the hands of Americans. But updated now to include terrorists using the Internet for recruitment and result, quote, losing a city. Colonial English defended their repression with words like those, and so did the slave states, and so did the policemen who shot strikers, and so did Lindbergh's America First crowd, and so did those who interned Japanese Americans, and so did those behind the Red Scare, and so did Nixon's plumbers. The genuine proportion of the threat is always irrelevant. The fear the threat is exploited to create becomes the only reality. We will adopt rules of engagement that use every technology we can find, Mr. Gingrich continued, about terrorists, formerly communists, formerly hippies, formerly fifth columnists, formerly anarchists, formerly redcoats, to break up their capacity to use the Internet, to break up their capacity to use free speech. Mr. Gingrich, the British broke up our capacity to use free speech in the 1770s. The pro-slavery leaders broke up our capacity to use free speech in the 1850s. The FBI and the CIA broke up our capacity to use free speech in the 1960s. It is within those groups where you would have found your kindred spirits, Mr. Gingrich, those who had no faith in freedom, no faith in this country, and ultimately no faith even in the strength of their own ideas to stand up on their own legs without having the playing field tilted entirely to their benefit. How convenient it is that we are told just today that the government has warned the stock markets and U.S. banks that it has learned of an Al-Qaeda threat to penetrate and destroy their websites. That learning followed immediately by a statement from Homeland Security that there is no corroboration of the threat. It will lead us to learn, Gingrich had continued in New Hampshire, how to close down every website that is dangerous. And it will lead us to a very severe approach to people who advocate the killing of Americans and advocate the use of nuclear and biological weapons. That we have always had a very severe approach to these people is insufficient for Mr. Gingrich's ends. He wants to somehow ban the idea, even though everyone who has ever protested a movie or a piece of music or a book has learned the same lesson. Try to suppress it, and you only validate it. Make it illegal, and you make it the subject of curiosity. Say it cannot be said, and it will instead be screamed. And on top of the thundering danger and his eagerness to sell out freedom of speech, there is a sadder sound still, the tinny crash of a garbage can lid on a sidewalk. Whatever dreams of internet censorship float like a miasma in Mr. Gingrich's personal swamp, whatever hopes he has of an iron firewall, the simple fact is technically they won't work. As of tomorrow, they will have been defeated by a free computer download. Mere hours after Gingrich's speech in New Hampshire, the University of Toronto announced it had come up with a program called Siphon to liberate those in countries in which the internet is regulated, places like China and Iran, where political ideas are so barren and political leaders so desperate that they put up computer firewalls to keep thought and freedom out. The Siphon device is a relay of sorts that can surreptitiously link a computer user in an imprisoned country with another computer user in a free country. The Chinese think their wall still works, yet the ideas, good ideas, bad ideas, indifferent ideas, pass through that wall anyway, the same way the Soviet bloc was defeated by the images of Western material bounty. If your hopes of thought control can be defeated, Mr. Gingrich, merely by one computer whiz staying up an extra half an hour and devising a new firewall hop, what is all this apocalyptic hyperbole for? I further think, you said in Manchester, we should propose a Geneva Convention for fighting terrorism, which makes very clear that those who would fight outside the rules of law, those who would use weapons of mass destruction, and those who would target civilians, are in fact subject to a totally different set of rules that allow us to protect civilization by defeating barbarism. Well, Mr. Gingrich, what is more massively destructive than trying to get us to give you our freedom? And what is someone seeking to hamstring the First Amendment doing, if not fighting outside the rules of law? And what is the suppression of knowledge and freedom, if not barbarism? The explanation, of course, is in one last quote from Mr. Gingrich from New Hampshire and another quote from him from last week. I want to suggest to you, he said about these internet restrictions, that we right now should be empaneling people to look seriously at a level of supervision that we would never dream of if it weren't for the scale of the threat. And who should those empaneled people be? Funny I should ask, isn't it, Mr. Gingrich? I am not running for president, you told a reporter from Fortune magazine. I am seeking to create a movement to win the future by offering a series of solutions so compelling that if the American people say, I have to be president, it will happen. Newt Gingrich sees in terrorism not something to be exterminated, but something to be exploited. It is his golden opportunity, isn't it? Rallying a nation, you might say, to hysteria, to sweep us up into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy. That, of course, is from the original version of the movie The Manchurian Candidate, the chilling words of Angela Lansbury's character as she first promises to sell her country out to the Chinese and Russians, then reveals she will double-cross them and keep all the power to herself, waving the flag every time she subjugates another freedom. Within the frame of our experience as a free and freely argumentative people, it is almost impossible to conceive that there are those among us who might approach the kind of animal wildness of fiction like the Manchurian Candidate, those who would willingly transform our beloved country into something false and terrible. Who among us can look into our own histories or those of our ancestors who struggled to get here or who struggled to get freedom after they were forced here and not tear up when we read Frederick Douglass's words from a century and a half ago? Freedom must take the day. Who among us can look to our collective history and not see its turning points, like the Civil War, like Watergate, like the Revolution itself, in which the right idea defeated the wrong idea on the battlefield that is the marketplace of ideas? But apparently there are some of us who cannot see that the only future for America is one that cherishes the freedoms we won in the past, an America in which we vanquish bad ideas with better ideas, in which we fight for liberty by having more liberty and not less. I am seeking to create a movement to win the future by offering a series of solutions so compelling that if the American people say, "I have to be president," it will happen. What a dark place your world must be, Mr. Gingrich, where the way to save America is to destroy America. I will awaken every day of my life thankful I am not with you in that dark place. And I will awaken every day of my life thankful that you are entitled to tell me about it, and that you are entitled to show me what an evil idea lurks there and what a cynical mind, and that you are entitled to do all that thanks to the very freedoms you seek to suffocate. Good night and good luck.
And that was Keith Olbermann. Very well said. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program, where we try to fight for freedom on a daily basis and smash those little dark places where they hide, those anti-freedom people. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please, set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Here's the boss fella now. How are you, Bruce?
Good night, Bruce. Hello, Bruce. How are you, Bruce?
Good night, Bruce.
Yeah, this is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. G'day, Bruce. Top of the day to you. Love you. This is, we're back on the air. Now, you know, I just wanted to, there's another clip that I wanted to play for you. Now, you know, we were talking, you know, Keith Olbermann, absolutely, is an amazing guy. And that was a great clip. I got another clip here. This shows the opposite side of the spectrum, if you will. This is from Michael the Savage Wiener. Oh, God. You're gonna like this one.
Keith Ellison won't swear to uphold the oath of office on the Bible, but on the Quran instead. This is unbelievable to me. So what's next? A witch gets elected, and she says she's gonna only be sworn in with a hand over a pentagram? Where does this end? Tell me when this ends, the tyranny of the psycho, whacked out minority. Tell me when it ends.
All right, one more time for the world.
Where does this end? Tell me when this ends, the tyranny of the psycho, whacked out minority. Tell me when it ends.
It ends when the Democrats get sworn into Congress in January, Michael Savage Wiener guy. Because you guys are actually the psycho, whacked out minority who perpetrated a fraud by making yourselves look like you were the majority. I think we need to send, my producer and I are in agreement. It ends when we send his wiener ass to Gitmo. That's right. I think Michael the Savage Wiener probably needs to spend some time in an orange jumpsuit with a bag over his head, transported around the world and poked with drills, and perhaps even a little waterboarding might even help bring him around. Thinking it's a possibility. Michael, you know, these people, they're crazy. But see, a guy like Michael Savage, right, he gets on the air, and this is the stuff he says, and there are people out there that go, yeah, that guy says what I'm thinking. That guy there, he might be from San Francisco, but he sure does have some good ideas. All right. Article 6 of our Constitution states, quote, that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Shall I read it one more time? Quote, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. That's from Article 6 of the Constitution. Okay? That's Article 6 of the Constitution.
Ellison won't swear to uphold the oath of office on the Bible, but...
He won't swear to uphold the oath of office on the Bible, but on the Quran instead. And that's bad. That's bad, right? So now, what's the next leap? Of course, the next leap is to witchery, right?
The Quran instead. This is unbelievable to me. So what's next? A witch gets elected, and she says she's going to only be sworn in with a hand over a pentagram.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Maybe, you know, I'm thinking maybe we could stretch this a little bit. If I ever get elected to office, ladies and gentlemen, I want to swear in on a video of Bugs Bunny, and I'm thinking of the one where him and Elmer Fudd, are running through the forest, and Bugs jumps, you know, Elmer comes around through the forest looking for the rabbit hole. Bugs is down in the ground, and he's hanging out. He's got his little lounge chair going on, his TV set, you know, and, you know, his little stove in the corner cooking some coffee or whatever it is that he cooked. Vegetables, I'm sure. Definitely not meat for Bugs. Anyway, so you know, Elmer comes along and he sticks his gun down in the hole. Let's just say Michael Wiener is Elmer Fudd. All right, Michael Wiener is Michael. That's right, Michael Savage. His real name is Michael Wiener, by the way. Just so you know, he's a really short guy too. He's a Wiener. He's a Wiener man. So Michael Wiener is Elmer Fudd, and Elmer Fudd comes along through the forest, you know, doing his thing, bebopping along through there with a huge gun in his hands, and he sticks his gun down the rabbit hole to shoot that dastardly liberal, and this is what he says.
Where does this end? Tell me when this ends, the tyranny of the psycho, whacked out minority. Tell me when it ends.
Tell me when it ends, Wabbit. Tell me. Tell me where it ends. Where does the psycho whacked out minority, where does this end? I want to know. All right, so I want to get sworn in on the video of that, you know, if I ever get elected, that's the one I want to get sworn in on, okay? Now, of course, Michael Savage has had his own issues with other things out there. Here's another clip. We're going to listen to this one. Let's listen. If we can get it loaded. There it is.
By what Jimmy Carter has been doing, he is basically fomenting anti-Semitism. He is going to turn the world against the Jews. The entire world will be turned against the Jews because Jimmy Carter is a lying anti-Semitic pig. Now write that down. Make sure that Media Matters gets that correctly. That group of swine at Media Matters who take me out of context. Make sure you don't take this one out of context. Jimmy Carter is an anti-American, anti-Semitic swine.
What a nice guy, eh? I mean, isn't this the kind of guy you would want to invite over for a dinner date? I'm thinking, you know, bring him over a game of Trivial Pursuit, perhaps even, you know, a bottle of Dr. Pepper, I don't know, whatever your beverage of choice is. Bring him on over. You know, he can provide the party favors for your crowd. And while you're playing your game, of course, he'll sit over in the corner and say things like this.
Make sure you don't take this one out of context. Jimmy Carter is an anti-American, anti-Semitic swine.
Yeah, and when he says stuff like that, there in the corner, you can respond in kind and go, you know, and just smack him around a little bit. But he's going to say it one more time.
Take this one out of context. Jimmy Carter is an anti-American, anti-Semitic swine.
Oh, my God. But at least Media Matters didn't take him out of context, right? That's what really matters. Oh, God. Crazy, man. You know, we got to listen to some of this stuff because, you know, it's unbelievable. Some of the crap that these people will say on the air. It really is quite unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we may have some more clips. We may not. Time will tell. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head-On Radio Network. The telephone number, if you want to get in on the show today, is 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Jane says, I'm done with Sergio. You treat me like...
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. in graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation. Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. I wouldn't want to be on security detail for the Bush-Maliki meeting in Jordan. Bush is despised there, and Maliki's got enemies on all sides. The meeting may undercut rather than bolster Maliki's power anyway, as Muqtada al-Sadr has already announced that he and his supporters are leaving the government's ruling coalition because of this get-together. Meanwhile, Bush is acting as obtuse as ever. He won't recognize the reality that there is indeed a civil war going on in Iraq. In fact, it's more like a civil war squared. Instead, all he'll say is, no question, it's tough there. That's the understatement of the epic. Try intractable. Try unbearable. Try disastrous. But Bush won't try any of these on for size. Bullheaded to the end, he insists, I'm not going to pull the troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete. There are plenty of troops and families of troops who weren't too happy to hear that one, because the mission will never be complete. The mission of democracy in Iraq is way beyond our reach. The mission of stability in Iraq is way beyond our reach. There will be no mission accomplished. Just mission impossible, with more dead troops on that battlefield, until Congress finally cuts off funding for Bush's debacle once and for all. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just gotta find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Jaffa sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here, I just finished off my caramel macchiato. Thank you, Bob. And it had 4 shots in it there. So. Got a couple more clips that I wanted to run to you. First of all, we're going to go right back to the Wiener guy, because this one right here is just absolutely amazing to me that he actually said this on the air. But we're going to go ahead and run this clip, and then we're going to go over to another clip that I found in the interim. It's a clipalicious kind of night, isn't it?
The Islamists smell weakness in the West and are attacking us on several fronts at once. 1, through outright war. 2, through immigration. 3, through their propaganda disseminated through the liberal media. And 4, through the liberal courts. Only a devastating military blow against the hearts of Islamic terror, coupled with an outright ban on Muslim immigration, laws making the dissemination of enemy propaganda illegal, and the uncoupling of the liberal ACLU can save the United States. I would also make the construction of mosques illegal in America and the speaking of English only in the streets of the United States the law. Now, this thing at the airport last week was a complete and total assault upon our civil rights. And those who did it used the Trojan horse of civil rights, the so-called imams, if you want to call them that, I don't know what they're imams of, but the so-called scholars who put that stunt on used the Trojan horse of civil rights in order to assault our civil rights. Make no mistake about it. We have to get rid of these kind of Islamic radicals. There is no question in my mind that this was an illegitimate assault upon our civil rights and upon our own survival. Now, we need the FBI to be strong against them. We need the Justice Department to stand up to these imams and possibly throw them out of the country for having staged this attack at the airport against U.S. Airways, specifically to impose Muslim views on society through civil rights or diversity training. I know exactly what I am talking about. I know exactly who these people are, and I am not going to be bowed by these radicals. I want the FBI to investigate the planning for this assault upon U.S. Airways. How about you? Right. This was a Trojan horse assault upon our defenses. They were using religion as a Trojan horse to overthrow our civil rights and to penetrate us for a future attack. That's how I look at it. If I was the FBI, I would investigate their fingernails for any trail of a conspiracy to do this, and I'd slap those imams into irons if I had to, once I found out that that's what they were doing. I can guarantee you there's an email trail about how to do this, and it goes right into the ACLU and the other subversive organizations.
I need paranoia. We'll destroy you, Bob. Just, oh my God. This is crazy. Okay. Where do I want to start with tearing this one apart? Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a stunt, and I'll agree with that. There is it's a stunt when Muslims pray, but it's a damned necessity when the fundamentalist Christians demand that all children pray in school. Isn't that interesting? It's not okay for the Muslims to pray to their God, but it's we have to get prayer back in school because society is turning into hell. Oh my God, the fear. It's just, oh my God. You know, it is amazing to me. It really truly is amazing to me how he's insane. The man is insane. The ACLU, you know, that terrible subversive terrorist organization, the ACLU, you know, the one that advocates for adherence to our Constitution, that advocates for civil liberties because the government is constantly encroaching on them and taking away your civil liberties, you know, through wiretapping, surveillance, whatever, stockpiling of your telephone calls and listening for keywords like anthrax. Uh-oh, they might be coming after me now. This idiot even says that he would make the construction of mosques in America illegal. And the speaking of English only, in one sentence now, he condemns one population and moves right on to the other one with absolutely no skip. And would require the speaking of English only in the streets of the United States. Oh my God. Okay, so you know what? There's enough savage for the night. That's enough savage for the night. Bob is nailing me here, guys. I gotta tell you, that's funny. Making mosque construction illegal is fine by me as long as we forbid Baptist church construction too. Oh, how true you are, my friend. How true you are. All right, you know that. Okay, so let's go ahead. We're going to listen to and Scientology centers, and also conservative think tanks. We can't forget those either. All right, we're going to go ahead and listen to another clip here. This is Bill O'Reilly and Joe Scarborough. Joe, of course, is on MSNBC, a conservative, and Bill O'Reilly, of course, is on the Faux News Network, who claims that that NBC is rooting for the enemy to win the war.
Let's bring in Fox News anchor Bill O'Reilly, because He actually went after NBC News for the decision to use the term civil war to describe the situation in Iraq. Take a look at Bill O'Reilly's attack on NBC.
NBC News has declared that there is indeed a civil war in Iraq. Now, that's not shocking because NBC is the most aggressive anti-Bush network these days, as they have made a calculated effort to woo left-wing viewers. The question is NBC wrong about Iraq? The answer is yes. Of course, the American media is not helping anyone by oversimplifying the situation and rooting for the USA to lose in Iraq. And that is what some media people are doing.
I think that's insane that he's suggesting there that NBC is rooting for America to lose in Iraq. Bill O'Reilly has had questions about this war from the very beginning. Bill O'Reilly knows we're engaged in a civil war over there. I'm stunned. What is going on at Fox News? Why is Bill O'Reilly claiming that my network, NBC News, is rooting for terrorists? That's truly insulting to me.
Yeah, well, apparently we now know of two programs that don't have a breathalyzer and require you to be sober when you go on the air. It's The View and The O'Reilly Factor. There's no spin zone. The blood must
well,
be through the roof.
And let me say this, Matthew. Hold on. I have defended Bill O'Reilly time and time again because I know liberals hate Bill because he speaks his mind and he wins. But I think in this case, it's over the top. And it's very disturbing to me.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yes, it's over the top and it's very disturbing to me. This is the sound of the media imploding, and the reality is, folks, the reality is with Joe Scarborough is that, well, he's just an opportunist, and Bill O'Reilly, well, he's just a nutbag. He's a fruitcake. He's a wing nut. He's out of his mind, and at some point he's going to be taken off the air and shackled away because he's crazy. He's just flat out crazy. The other thing too to keep in mind with that particular clip is that, and I'll say it because I think it needs to be said. These people who are in the media, the Michael Wieners, the Joe Scarboroughs, the Bill O'Reillys, who else? Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Neil Bortz, all of these conservative media people who dominate now, they dominate the airwaves, folks. You try to find a liberal, a progressive, who's actually on the over-the-air radio stations around the country. You'll find a few, but not many. And you know why? Because the conservatives dominate the market completely. They dominate the market. And when it comes to the lion's share of the media, television, radio, and print, conservatives are dominating all three. But it's the liberal media's fault. I don't get that. See, the media isn't liberal anymore. That's bull. That's a complete lie. When you hear them talking about the liberal media, you know what they're talking about. They're talking about anybody who happens to disagree with them. They're talking about anybody who happens to have a different philosophy or a different understanding of, well, maybe even a grasp of the truth or a grasp of the facts in play. Anyone who has a basic understanding of how things are going in Iraq would have to say civil war. Colin Powell has said civil war. Bill Clinton has now come out and said it's a civil war. Folks who know what civil war is are saying it's a civil war. Folks like Bill O'Reilly, who sit behind a desk all day and try to figure out things to do with loofah, well, they don't know what civil war is, and guess what? They shouldn't be talking about it, should they? I say let the facts bear the truth out. But the fact is, folks, that the media isn't liberal. The media is largely conservative. And folks like Keith Olbermann are becoming increasingly rare finds these days. People who are willing to stand up and tell the truth. People who are willing to defend what principles we are founded upon in the name of preserving what America is supposed to be about. We have seen and we've listened to a number of clips tonight, not the least of which has shown very dramatic examples of how opposite the two poles are. Yeah, that's right. The liberals are talking about keeping America free, keeping American liberty as the highest calling, as the highest principle that we can live by, the highest belief that we can believe in. And yet, the conservatives have come out and said, what do we want to do? We should restrict free speech. We should restrict the internets. We should ban the building of mosques. We should demand English-only speaking in the streets. We should ban news networks because they're supporting the terrorists. That's what we're hearing, folks, from the conservative side. However, on the liberal side, what we're hearing is that, you know what, we're in a screwed-up mess right now. That's the reality of the situation. And if you can't get with that idea and understand that this is what is really going on, then possibly, quite possibly, you need to rethink that. Now, Bill O'Reilly, of course, lives in his own little cocoon, and so does Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Neil Bortz and, you know, all of these other guys. They live in cocoons, very safe little areas where they operate from philosophy, not from fact. Whereas you and I, we live in the real world. We watch the body bags come home from Iraq. We watch as our friends and neighbors lose their homes because they can't make enough money to make ends meet. We watch as the unions are decimated by the fact that the corporations are taking over and trying to create an atmosphere that globalization that destroys American jobs at the expense of the bottom line. We watch all that stuff, and yet there are so many of us that still, even today, would support the right-wing ideology as it drove them into a homeless shelter. There are still people out there today that would support the right-wing ideology as it drove them into a war that we could never recover from. Why? Why do they continue to support an ideology that does nothing but destroy what is good about this country? I have one answer for you. Because they want to have parents. They want to have authority figures to dictate to them what is true and just and right about America. They can't think for themselves. They have to be told what to think. They have to be told how to act. They have to be told what is right and what is wrong, rather than thinking for themselves, acting out of principle, rather than being told and being ordered around like a robot. Now, is that a far-reaching indictment? I don't know. Listen to a conservative talk someday. Sit down with them and have a conversation. Listen if there's some of that no-spin zone talking points being spewed. I have sat down with a number of conservatives myself, and when I challenge them on the veracity of their comments, what I get back is, what? When I present to them an alternative version of the facts, you know, the ones that are actually factual, what I get in return is someone saying to me, Bruce, you didn't hear what I said. Oh yeah, I did, but you're wrong. Where's the research? Where have you read that? Where have you heard that? Well, it was on Fox News. Well, that tells me everything. Do you believe everything you see? Do you believe everything you hear? Do you read it all? We are living now in a society that has turned into a soundbite society. We no longer operate from the idea that reading a newspaper is a worthwhile activity. We now operate from the idea that to get our news, it has to be compacted into a 10-minute segment. 10 minutes for news, 5 minutes for weather, 10 minutes for sports, and some ads interspersed in the middle of all that. So when you see that Bush Cheney sticker on the back of the car, when you see the one that says, I still pray, ask them, what do they pray for? Do they pray for peace? Do they pray for love? Do they pray for compassion? What do they pray for? And isn't this idea of compassionate conservatism, you know, the one that supposedly won over some of those swing Democrats, wasn't that all just a lie? It was. a complete lie. And why was it a lie? Because they had to figure out some way to sway over the folks that actually care about other people. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't have won their elections. So, you know, as I was stating earlier, the bottom line here, folks, is that arm yourself with facts. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. We'll close out the show here in a few minutes. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
You're back on the Bruce. You're on that Bruce Birch Radio program. A little bit of ELO there for you. Rock on. Don't bring me down. All right, let's wrap this puppy up. You know, I just got to, you know, there's one thing that I wanted to bring to your attention also. You know, we listened to Michael Weiner back there a few minutes ago talking about the whole thing with Keith Ellison, the first Muslim ever elected to Congress. Well, it all started with Dennis Prager, who is another right-wing radio host, and he said, quote, that Ellison had, quote, announced that he will not take his oath of office on the Bible, but on the Bible of Islam, the Quran. Prager claimed that this act undermines American civilization and compared it to being sworn in with a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf. Well, the only thing that's wrong about that is that the swearing-in ceremony for the House of Representatives never includes a religious book. The clerk of the House said that neither the Christian Bible nor any other religious text had ever been used in an official capacity during the ceremony. So, that was all just a lie, wasn't it? Now see, when you get down to the truth, what you realize is that these folks lie to you. They tell you deliberate mistruths. Why? Why do they do that? Well, it's very simple. They do that because by inciting your emotional state, by making you, they can control what you think. Doesn't that sound crazy? Well, it's true. Look at what happened following the September the 11th attacks. Instead of using that as a unifying example of how to bring America together, the president instead decided to enact the Patriot Act, the single most invasive piece of legislation ever to be passed by the Congress and signed into law by the president, only to be surpassed by the Patriot Act too. Because we needed security, not liberty. We needed to feel safe. We didn't need to feel scared. We needed our daddy to take care of us, didn't we? Thank God, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Benjamin Franklin, Sam Adams, all of those folks did not think that back in the 1700s, because we would still be a part of Britain, now wouldn't we? I'd like to thank Bob for producing the show tonight. I'd like to thank everyone else, Peter Godbold, John Fox, Gene from Oregon, Susan, all of the mods in the chat room, all of the folks who hang out there in the chat room, thank you so much for tuning in. And also thank you, listeners, for joining me one more time for this little trip down the progressive path. I will be on the air tomorrow night from 6 until 9 p.m. Eastern Time and 3 until 6 p.m. covering for my good friend and compadre in the struggle, Bob Kincaid. He has asked me to sit in for him, so it'll be an interesting show. We'll see what comes of it. Please do join me. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. So get out there and make a difference. Your country is depending on you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the mothers hug their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. Terrorist groups disbanded with no empire.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, Iraq's parliament today voted to extend the state of emergency for another 30 days. The unanimous vote means the nighttime curfew will remain in place. It also gives the government extra powers regarding arrests as well as police and military operations. The U.S. military said the pilot of an Air Force fighter jet that crashed in Iraq yesterday has not been found, adding that finding him is their primary concern. A U.S. Marine was killed in the Anbar province Monday. Across Baghdad today, 36 bodies were found, the apparent victims of sectarian killings. Two car bombs also exploded, killing four people outside of a hospital morgue in Baghdad. The New York Times reported today that U.S. intelligence officials say that Iranian-backed Hezbollah is training members of the Shiite militia in Iraq, the Mahdi Army, which is led by anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Up to 2,000 Shiite militia members have gone to Lebanon for training by Hezbollah. Additionally, some Hezbollah operatives have been to Iraq to assist. In Latvia for a NATO summit today, President Bush said he would not withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq until, quote, the mission is complete. The president will meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in Jordan this week for talks about the deteriorating security situation in Iraq. President Bush refuses to characterize it as a civil war, something several major news outlets are now doing, including NBC News, The New York Times, and The Los Angeles Times. He blames the sectarian violence on al-Qaeda, while U.S. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan described Iraq as almost being in civil war. The United Nations Security Council today extended the mandate of the multinational force in Iraq, which has 160,000 troops. The unanimous vote for a one-year extension was in response to a request from Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The bipartisan Iraq Study Group, led by former Secretary of State James Baker, wrapped up